Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Hey, good morning, radio friends, and welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles giving you an invitation to stay with us for the next 30 minutes. As we look into God's holy word and bring some thoughts that the Lord has laid upon our heart and trust that we will be a blessing to you and help you along your way as a Christian. If you're not saved, I pray that something be said in this broadcast that cause you to stop and think and to realize that you need to be saved and turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved before it's eternally too late. Let me give you my church announcements there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle located on Mount Tabor Road, where Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We meet for Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday morning, and then we have our morning worship at 10:45. We return at 6 p.m. on Sunday for our evening service, and then at 7 on Wednesday. I'd like to give you an invitation to come and be with us. Just want you to know that this is a church that loves you, a pastor that loves you, and a church that will welcome you with open arms. We'll love you. We'll take you in if you're a child of God. And if you're not, we'll point you the way to Calvary so that you might be saved and be born into the family of God. And so we just want to leave these announcements with you and give you a hearty invitation to come. And if you possibly could. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. I'm not trying to lure you away from your church unless you're in a church that doesn't preach the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, in which case you need to get out of there. But if you're looking for a church where you can worship the Lord and the old-time way based on the Bible scriptures and singing the old songs of Zion that have some spiritual meaning, we invite you to come and take part in our service. I know the Lord would bless you if you do that. Now we're going to have a song, and then I'll be back with today's message.
This old road that I'm walking is rocky, and sometimes I may stumble and fall. The first one who coming again, we will live up in heaven forever, and our life there with Him will not end. There was a time when I
in darkness, looking for a little light on my way. And I found it at an old-fashioned altar.
Now tomorrow he'll take me away. Oh, but someday there'll be no tomorrow, for Jesus is coming again. We will live up in heaven forever, and our life there with him will not end. Oh, but someday there'll be no tomorrow, for Jesus is coming again. We will live up in heaven forever, and our life there with him will not end. And our life there.
There we have Merlin Williams and his the Harmony Trio singing Someday There'll Be No Tomorrow. And certainly we do know that for all of us, there will come a day that there won't be a tomorrow. Now, that could be by the way of death. It could be by the way of the trumpet sounding. And we go out of here and we leave this realm of time and go into eternity. But, friend, I do want to warn you today that if you happen to wait too late to make that decision to come to the Lord Jesus Christ while he's speaking to you, knocking on your heart's door, then, my friend, it'll be forever too late, and you'll have to spend eternity there in a devil's hell with no way to be rescued. Can we go to the Lord in a word of short prayer? Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the broadcast, the ability to be here. Thank you, Father, for the means to keep this radio broadcast going. Thank you for each one that listens. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless each one that does listen. And help me, Lord, to rightly divide the word, that I might give out the truth in a way that will be a blessing to someone and a help to your children, or, Lord, to reach the heart of someone who's lost, needs to know you as their Savior. Lord, we just don't want to see anyone miss heaven for whatever this world has to offer temporarily. We do not want to miss eternity for the temporal blessings of this world. Excuse me. Father, I pray now that you'll take this broadcast and use it. Thank you for the good visit at Liberty Assisted Living this morning, for your blessings there. Bless those people as they're confined there, Lord, and can't get out and go to church. Thank you for the opportunity to meet with them and to be a blessing to them. And I pray that you will be close to them. Let them feel your presence. May your will be done today, Lord. Father, I pray your broadcast now will be a blessing to those listening, and it'll exalt you. We'll praise you, and we'll lift you up, and show you your glory to the world as we try our best to get the gospel out in every way that we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we began the series last week from the book of Luke, chapter 15, entitled Finders Keepers. And we did say that in this chapter, we do find three things that were lost but were found. There was, of course, the parable of the lost sheep. Then there was followed up by the parable of the lost coin. And then finally, the parable of the prodigal son. All three things which were lost but were found. And so we thought we would title this series Finders Keepers. So we look about, as we just kind of review from last week, we talked about how that these three things represent items that were lost and found. And the lost sheep was 1% of the total. The lost penny was 10% of the total. The lost son was 50% of the total because there was only two sons. But each one of these represents something that was lost, that was precious to the one that lost it. No matter whether it was 50% loss or 1% loss, it was still a loss, and it was unacceptable to the one that owned it. And as I thought about that today, I understand that recent statistics would show that only 2% of the world's population are truly born again, saved, and ready to go to heaven. That's 98% loss, if that's true, and that's just, I don't know where those statistics come from, but that's where we stand today. And if 50% was not acceptable, 98% is not. If 10% of the lost money was not acceptable, that 98% of the lost population today is not acceptable. And even if that lost sheep, one little sheep out of 100, 1%, means that was unacceptable. That means that even one today is not acceptable. God sent His Son into this world to die for the sins of mankind that all could be saved. And no one will ever be able to stand at the throne of God and not have guilt upon them, because everything that can be done has been done to save mankind. God sent His Son here to do that. His Son willingly gave His life, died yonder on the cross at Calvary, was buried, and rose again the third day. And it's so simple today. He said that if you'll just believe upon Him, believe upon His death, burial, resurrection, and call upon His name, confess your sins, and ask Him to save you, and He will save you. There is no doubt in my mind about it. You see, the only reason that I have any confidence today that I'll go to heaven when I die is because God said so. He said that if I did these things, that if I would confess with the mouth and believe in the heart that God raised Him from the dead, then I would be saved. Now, that's the only thing I have that assures me that hell has no terrors for me, is because God said so, and God always does what He says. That's why it's so fearful, friend, if you've never been saved. I know that God's going to do what He said, and He said that every nation and every wicked person would be turned into hell. And I do know, my friend, that we have a faction today that would have you to believe that a loving God would not send anybody to hell. And let me assure you, friend, God does not send anyone to hell. Everyone that goes to hell goes over the blood of Christ, the preaching of the gospel, and the love that people extend to them. And friend, I cannot express to you my desire to have folks saved and to keep them out of that awful place. But we've got to move on. We looked at those losses, and we talked about some reasons why that son might have left. And then we came down, as we were finishing up, we said that at some point he made a conscious decision to go down the path of separation. And there are so many applications that could be made from that. First of all, we could be thinking about that separation that happened way back in the Garden of Eden, when man decided that he would disobey what God said. God gave man only one little thing that he had to do to stay in fellowship with Him, and he did not do it. He just simply said, do not eat of that one fruit, but they did anyway. They went against God, and then, because of that, sin entered into the world, and man's soul was lost. The devil took a mortgage on the soul of man, and Jesus paid that mortgage at Calvary. But all you have to do is go down there and just confess that you need it and pick up that mortgage, my friend, that Jesus has paid in full, and it's already been paid for. And my friend, he has redeemed our soul from hell. And then there might have been other things. Not only could it be that that separation that occurred at Eden when man fell, but it could also be represent a child of God drawn into the world and thereby going down the path of temptation right to despair and ultimately to devastation and destruction. Either application will eventually lead to destruction. Either for the child of God, that destruction will come through chastisement. God not going to allow his children to keep sinning and getting away with it. If you walk away from God, there will be a price to pay somewhere along the way. Now, your soul is safe. He's going to, if once he saves you, he's not going to let you go back. But, my friend, there'll be a price to pay. Not only in this world as he chastises you, and this can come in a lot of forms that can happen when a child of God gets out of God's will and rebels. It's just like a child of your own, my friend. If you're the right kind of parent, you will correct that child and get him back in line for his own good, not because he necessarily because you got mad because he disobeyed you, but for his own good, you bring him back and you chastise him and you make him see the error of his ways and bring him back to a place of fellowship with you so that there's no longer that separation between you. And so we see that that could be the case. But the worst part about that is that separation that happened in the Garden of Eden, if something is not done to change that, man's soul will end up in hell. And I, for one, do not want to see that happen. That's why I take the time every week to make this broadcast, send it out. And by the way, if you prefer to, if you'd like to hear this broadcast or to send it to someone that you know might need it, you can find it at MarylandBaptist.org, and on there somewhere there is a place you can click on Redemption Time, and you can pick the, there's several different broadcasts on there. I'm not sure how long they're left on there, but the recent ones, there are two or three recent ones on there, and you can send those to someone else, or you could make them aware of the presence of those and where they can find them. So if you will do that, I appreciate it. Then not only there was the lost son, but there was the lost coin. I want you to notice that this lost coin represents the 10% loss that I said. She had 10 coins and she lost one of them. And I want you to notice that it said that she would light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she found it. That tells me, my friend, that that coin that was lost is in darkness. And it also reminds me of the darkness of sin today and the blindness that is upon humankind because of sin that has entered into our life and has entered into our being, and we're born with that principle. And as far as the things of God is concerned, we are in darkness until he enlightens us with the gospel and reveals himself to us, and we're saved by his grace. And then he can put us in the light. He can give us the light of his word, the light of his love. And he can put us in the light. And my friend, I'm glad that that this coin can be found. And I'm glad today, friend, that a lost soul can be found. It's only lost because it is in separation from the rightful owner. God was the rightful owner. He created man. Satan stepped in and took that mortgage on his soul that Jesus paid for. But my friend, you have to accept that in order to participate in the rescue. First of all, I want you to notice not only was it in darkness, but it did not know it was lost. See, that's the problem today with lost humanity. It does not understand the plight that it's in, especially in the day that we live in, when everything seems to be so good. We have so many modern conveniences. Life is so much easier than it used to be as far as having to work and the different things you had to do. Now, I understand we still have to work. There's things we still have to do. But it's a lot different today than it was in the development of this country before there were modern conveniences. It's so much easier, and we get so much at ease, and we've taken so many things for granted that God has given us. And we find then that it did not, we do not understand. We go along and everything is fine, and maybe it will be fine the rest of your life. There's no reason to believe that not being saved will cause you problems in this life. It does not necessarily mean that. The problem is when life is over and we stand before God, then we find out just how lost that investment is. And I want you to know that it was of great value to the seeker. This woman in this parable is said to have lit a candle. She has lit the way to find this lost coin. And she swept the house, and she is searching diligently. Can I say today that today the Holy Ghost is searching diligently for that's lost, that soul that's never been saved? I want you to know, friend, that you are of great value to God. He's the rightful owner. Satan was the one that deceived, and by him sin came into the world. And the creation of man was spoiled. And because of that, we must be saved. But I want you to know that you're precious to the seeker today. The seeker being God through the person of the Holy Ghost, as He's looking for souls today to be saved. And we're seeking ways to get this gospel, because the Bible says that it's by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. And my friend, as foolish as you may think all of this is, and maybe as stumbling and as backwards as I am, and the way my message has come across, you may not think very much of it. But my friend, I want you to know that God is seeking you today through this message and through the message of the Holy Spirit dealing in the hearts of men as the gospel is preached. I know it seems as foolishness to the world, but that's the way God has ordained that people would be saved. So I want you to know that your soul is precious. Your soul is very valuable to the seeker. And then I want you to know that this coin was bigger than just itself. It was part of a bigger collection there. And dear friend, although it's just a small part, it's part of something bigger than itself. You see, your eternal soul is bigger, and the eternal destiny and that which waits beyond the grave is so much bigger than you can possibly imagine here. And my friend, I just want you to know that there's 9 other coins that she wants to take that one back to. And I want you to know, friend, that there's saved people all over the world that would love to have someone come and participate again, to be found, to be returned to the fold, or to the resting place of those coins. My friend, listen, God wants you to be found. Jesus saved souls that come to Him. Jesus is seeking. The Holy Spirit is seeking. I'm seeking through this message. For some reason today, I cannot get away from the seeking of a lost soul today, and thinking of how important it is that I get my point across that someone needs to be saved today. I wouldn't want to think about that today would be that day that for someone that's hearing this message, there would be no tomorrow. I would not want that to be the case if you have not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would not want you to go into eternity having heard this message and turned down the Holy Spirit. Now, if God's not dealing with you, I'm not trying to twist your arm and get some kind of a confession out of you. I want you to genuinely be saved, and the only way that can happen is you have to be saved when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Now, He's promised that He'll do His part if I'll do mine. That's all I can do. All I can do is bring you the message. I cannot make you accept it. I cannot make you understand it. I cannot make you want to respond to it. That will take the work of the Holy Ghost. But I do know that He honors His word, and I'm doing my best to get the message to you. The Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is offering you something today that you cannot buy with all of the wealth in the world today. The Holy Spirit is trying to woo you to a better way of life than you've ever known. And I know a lot of people say, oh, what I'll have to give up this, I'll have to give up that. Well, you know what? There's nothing you'll have to give up God won't make it well worth your time. I can promise you, friend, living for the Lord is the easiest way through this world. Now, I understand there'll be troubles, there'll be trials. You'll be faced temptation. You'll be faced with all kinds of opposition. But I can tell you that the way of the Lord is the best way. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. And I know even through the burdens and the different things that we bear as Christians, I understand that. And maybe you've seen someone that's loaded down, burdened down. But I can tell you that even through all of that, Jesus never leaves you. He never will leave you. He's promised never to leave you. And whatever it is, He'll help you through it. Without Him, when the time comes to cross that river over into eternity, without Him, there'll be no help for you. Family can't help you. When your time is up, the doctors can't help you. The only one that can help you is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But at that point, it may be too late. Now, I thought I'd get further than that today, but I haven't. I've gotten just through the lost coin. I'm just now getting to the main thrust of my message, which would be that of the lost sheep. That's where I want to make my message, is a message centered around the lost sheep. But for some reason today, I could not get away from the subject of preaching to the lost, and I can't get away from it even now. In the closing minutes of this broadcast, I just want to plead with you one more time, friend, that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now, I don't know where you might be. If you're in a position where you could stop and get on your knees and confess to the Lord Jesus Christ that you're lost, that you need to be saved, and just believe that what He said about trusting Him. Believe that, confess that you're lost, that you need to be saved, ask Him to save you, and I know that He'll do that. If you're not where you can do that, maybe you're driving, maybe you're not in a position where you can do that, God understands that, but if He's dealing with you, He's ready to save you. He wants to save you right now. And if that's the case, if you can't bow, if you can't, you're not in a position where you can, then my friend, just humble your heart before the Lord and ask Him to come into your heart and to save you by His marvelous grace. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. There's no way that you can ever have salvation except just receiving it as a gift from God, because the gift of God is eternal life. I'm glad, my friend, that He didn't leave us here without any hope. He sent the Lord, who willingly gave His life. There on in the garden the night before He was crucified, He had prayed that if there was any other way, to let that cup pass from Him. But you see, God had said, the soul that sinneth, it must die. and man had sinned, and therefore it had to die. Therefore he sent his Son, made in the likeness of a man. He was a man, but he was also God. And as such, he was able to live a perfect life, fulfill the law in its entirety, satisfied every demand of God. And then there on that cross, he was sacrificed. He died in my place. He died in your place. And friend, today you don't have to die. You don't have to have that spiritual death. Now, all of us are going to die one day if the Lord doesn't come back in the rapture. Before that, we'll all die physically, but we don't have to die spiritually. Jesus has made the way. He's paid the price. And today, I've told you all I can tell you. Now, friend, if the Lord spoke to your heart today, I do pray that you will respond. Lord, I pray that if there's someone under conviction today, that you'll continue to work with them until they give in and ask you to be saved.